My favorite medical editorial is lining doc's pockets. If you go to your doctor, you want him to think of you as a patient, not a cash cow. But two studies in this month's New England Journal of Medicine show that doctors are out to milk you dry. Now, you don't need to be a dairy farmer to figure out what that means. That's pretty straightforward. 10 months later, in the Reader's Digest, which to me is the sweetest little magazine that ever was, never says anything negative about any individual or any group, page 77, they say, can you trust your doctor? And they list 12 ways that doctors routinely scam money from their patients. I'm going to give you the worst one. You can go look up the other 11. The worst one, according to Reader's Digest, not Joel Wallach, is doctors get a kickback of $421 every time they refer you in for a CAT scan or an MRI. Now, according to Reader's Digest, not Joel Wallach, the average doctor in America gets $226,681 a year. That's almost $250,000 in CAT scan kickbacks. And you wonder why healthcare costs keep spiraling upward. That's just one procedure. Kind of exciting, isn't it? This one here is a little over 2 years old, January 1995. This is an obituary of a lady, 48 years old, young, died of breast cancer, according to the article. Grace Masira, given radiation as a baby, I wanted to know what that meant. You get kind of excited about these things. And I read her obituary, did a little library research up in La Jolla, the medical school here in San Diego. And when she was 6 months old, she was a sickly child. With all the pediatric heroics of the day, they couldn't fix her, so they put her in the hospital, and they took an x-ray machine, and they shrank her thymus gland because they didn't know what else to do. I said, nobody in their right mind would do that because everybody knows your thymus gland is the major part of your immune system. It activates killer T cells, which protects you from hepatitis virus, Epstein-Barr virus, HIV virus, cancer. And so I went into the pediatric medical literature between 1945 and 1950, and it was common practice. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, more than 1 million American babies under the age of 1 year had their thymus gland shrunk between 1945 and 1950 with x-ray machines. And according to the U.S. Department of Energy, these kids have either already died of cancer, like Grace Masira, or they're currently under treatment for cancer. It's projected they're going to die of cancer based on the amount of radiation they received in their neck and chest to shrink their thymus gland. And I want you to remember that not a single foreign enemy has ever radiated an American. And this came from the profession who is famous for saying, now you have to trust me, my dear, I'm a doctor. You wonder what the pupils look like on the eyes of this surgeon in Grand Rapids, Michigan at the Butterworth Hospital when he took off the normal breast and left the cancerous breast on this woman. I guarantee you he was gorked out on something. Because look at the date here, March 17th, 1995. What day is that? St. Patrick's Day. I guarantee you even a dyslexic surgeon wouldn't make that mistake. Now, this fellow here, Willie King, has become the poster child for people who have been injured, infected, or killed in hospitals. He went into the University Community Hospital in Tampa, Florida to get his right leg amputated for gangrene because he had uncontrolled diabetes. And the bones were sticking out of the ends of his toes, the skin was slipping off, and his flesh smelled like rotten meat in a garbage can on a hot July night, and the surgeon promptly cut off his normal left leg. But they made it up to Willie a week later. They cut off his bad leg for nothing, and so he got two legs cut off for the price of one. A couple more, and we'll get into the good stuff. Dr. Raymond Sattler, a neurosurgeon from Wilmington, North Carolina, had his license suspended for 30 days, according to this news article, because after exposing the patient's brain for surgery, ran out for 25 minutes because he got the munchies, went into the hospital lunchroom and had to go eat something. Now, I don't believe that's what happened because I've done a lot of surgery, and when you get hungry, you have to go to the bathroom real bad. You don't tell the nurse, keep him warm for a half hour, I'll be back. You go faster, you know, so you get the stitches farther apart, whatever you have to do to get done. And if it's a long, complicated procedure, you have the nurse call in somebody else to kind of carry on for you or excuse yourself for a few minutes. Well, I believe that Dr. Raymond Sattler is part of this 52% of the medical doctors who do drugs every week. And he was going through withdrawals. And he had to run into the bathroom and snort some cocaine or give himself an injection to get himself under control. And I base this opinion on this statement from the State Medical Board of North Carolina. They said, Dr. Raymond Sattler forgot the names of surgical equipment or instruments during the operation. He told his nurse to drill holes in the patient's head with a Black & Decker drill. We're talking about Sears Home Repair here. She didn't know what she was doing. Okay, doc, whatever you say. And if you've ever drilled a hole through a board or a piece of metal, you know you don't just barely go to the other side because there's burrs and things. And I imagine this gal made a smoothie out of this guy's brain trying to get those burrs out of the skull. And this doctor, Dr. Raymond Sattler, got his license suspended for 30 days because he turned the procedure over to an untrained person. Now, this last one, this is concept number one, the last one, has to do with the basic training that medical students should get before they become physicians. You'd like to believe that they get taught the most basic of stuff, like what a live patient looks like, what a dead patient looks like. That should be basic. They should actually have courses entitled Life 101, Death 102, so that the general public has some confidence that they get taught this basic stuff. But when you see this kind of thing that I'm going to show you next, you just scratch your head and say, come on, guys. And I see about 300 to 400 of these a year as I crisscross this country lecturing. Morgue worker finds woman alive in body bag. This gal here, Mildred C. Clark, 86 years old, was found cold, stiff, and blue on her nursing home apartment floor. The house doctor claims he couldn't find a pulse or respiration. She's 86 years old. Let's just let her slip away quietly. We don't want to run up the bills, you know, for the survivors. We don't want to make her miserable in the last few moments of her life. So he declared her dead, threw her body in a meat wagon, and sent her off to a small hospital in Albany, New York for her autopsy, because she died without any history of real illness, apparently. Died suddenly. Small hospitals, of course, don't have a full-time pathologist or a coroner there, so they have to call one. So the house doctor has to write a death certificate so they can put her in the freezer until they get there. I guarantee you, he didn't come out of his air-conditioned office 2 weeks behind in paperwork to go down to a stinky morgue to declare this woman dead, because after all, another doctor already said she's dead. So he just signs a death certificate, sends it down, and the morgue worker says, oh, here's a dead one, strips her naked, takes a pressure hose, blows the makeup off her face, the gunk off her body, puts her wet and naked into a body bag in the freezer for an hour and a half until the coroner and pathologist get there to do the autopsy. They wheel her out of the freezer, zip open the body bag, and Mildred C. Clark, age 86 years old, sits up. She says, thank God you found me. It was cold and dark in there, and I didn't know where I was. And even the morgue technician said he thought he heard breathing coming out of the freezer, but he was too scared to open it. Now, Mildred C. Clark had to be a tough old bird, let me tell you. If you don't believe it, get naked, hose yourself down, and get in the freezer with the ice cream for an hour and a half and see how well you do. Now, the last moral of this story is concept number one, again, is whatever you do, whenever a doctor says, here's our options, never say, doc, whatever you say, you're the doctor. What you want to do when a doctor says, here's our options, what you want to do is say, look, I want copies of all these records and tests, I want copies of the x-rays, and go visit three other doctors in three other hospitals. You want to talk to 12 of their living patients that had gone through this procedure, talk to them, see if you really want to do this. I mean, you do this for your driveway and your roof and your fence and your yard and all that kind of stuff. Why not for your own physical body? That's concept number one.